City's News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Hour 2 of Justice and Drew is underway. Give us a call, 651-989-5855, or tweet at us using the hashtag TCNT.
President Trump yesterday, it's out of the hill, tweeted that changes won't be made to your 401k plans after reports that congressional Republicans were considering a major alteration to the retirement accounts in the forthcoming tax reform legislation. So right now, you can make contributions up to $18,000 annually before taxes. The lobbyists had heard that congressional Republicans were weighing lowering that cap to $2,400.
Bad idea.
Yeah, and there's no like real good indication of how many individuals were on board with that. I think the one of the reasons why they were pushing for it is the thought that if you lower the pre-tax contributions, then it would shift taxpayers to Roth accounts. So you would get people pay the taxes on the money when it's put into the account, but not when it's withdrawn. So this would help the numbers game for congressional Republicans. So if they can tax the money going into the account, going into the Roth account up front, then they get that money faster. So when they're looking at arguing for their tax reform, they've got a pocket of money where they can go and point to. But we're going to lower this for 401ks. People will shift their money over here, and we can grab that prior. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. Look, the Republicans need to drop this idea and get away from this narrative that tax cuts need to be paid for. They don't need to be paid for. If the federal government ends up taking in less money, that's fine.
Right.
That's fine. That's okay. Then you will spend less.
Yeah, the critics of the idea viewed it as a budget gimmick and argued that it would likely reduce the amount that people go and save for retirement. The only thing that I, because I've heard the argument for Roth accounts, the only thing that I kind of like about the Roth account, I don't think that they should make this attach this. I think you should have the option to do so. The only thing I like about the Roth account, though, is that while they nail you up front, when you take the money out, they don't get you. So the money that you put in there is kind of safe from any changes in the taxes. You know what I mean? So if it ends up where they take more out going in, you don't have to worry about that because your money's already sitting there. But Trump was smart, in my view, to get out ahead of this.
Right. And just say, nope, this is not an option.
Yeah, because people aren't going to look at the details. Even if reducing that contribution were a good idea, people wouldn't see that. People who use 401ks, especially, you know, when their employers contribute to them, are going to be like, no, I'm not having that.
Right.
You know, I'd like, you know, like
yeah.
me. You
and,
know.
It does mention in here, and you mentioned it, that it's unclear how seriously this was being considered. This was, you know, word had kind of leaked out through lobbyists to the media that this was something they might be considering.
Yeah.
But no, not a lot of details on who was proposing it and how much support it actually had.
This comes out of a CBS Boston, an elementary school principal is apologizing for a controversial Halloween display at a school party.
Maybe it's better that schools stop doing Halloween.
No,
maybe it's better, you know, because crap like this happens.
The parent-teacher organization hosted a fundraiser at the West Parish Elementary School Friday night, and one of the parents brought in a beanbag toss game that included fake tombstones.
Oh, good. At least they weren't real.
One of them had the name Don Trump on it. Offended parents sent pictures to the Massachusetts Republican Party committee woman who shared one of the photos, of course, on Facebook. Politics does not belong in an elementary school or any politics, she told a local news radio station. But it's particularly egregious to be putting the name of the sitting U.S. president on the tombstone.
Yeah, it kind of is.
So it looks like, so was this the parents that did this? Because it said the parents are the ones that brought it in.
Yeah, the parent. Yeah, right. What probably happened is that parents volunteered to take over these stations. Hey, bring in some games for the kids to play and some candy to hand out, and we'll have a little Halloween party. And one of the parents thought it would be cute or funny, whatever, to put Don Trump's name on a tombstone. So the parents did apologize, and the principal. Or no, the woman who saw it and took the pictures and sent them off to the state GOP says that she's satisfied.
I love this. I love slash hate. It's a poor use of words. I find it interesting. And this is a given, but I'm going to give you a different argument. But this idea in so many people's minds that this kind of thing is totally fine. right? We're just in a world now where
everybody agrees.
Where everybody agrees. Yeah. I was watching, and you watched the show, watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Okay.
Right.
And I don't know if you're going to say, if you know exactly what I'm going to point to, but the wife and I watched the Halloween episode. They have a Halloween episode every year. And I forgot the context of how it came up, but the Andy Samberg character towards the beginning of it, they're doing a meeting where they're laying out the games, and it's the entire cast in the room where they have these meetings at. And some comment was made, and that character did hashtag resist.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, just sitting there, didn't even vocally say it. I was like, that's lame. I immediately jumped to what everybody in the room allegedly hates Donald Trump, so you can do the hashtag resist, and everybody's totally fine with that. It's so, that mentality. And I know it's Hollywood, and I know that show is particularly diverse, and they go that route, but man.
Yeah, but it's part of the bubble, man. Hollywood's in a bubble. All these writers are in the same bubble. All these parents that brought in these tombstones, their social circle is probably that same kind of bubble where they all agree. They all think Trump's awful. They don't know anybody who likes Donald Trump. They don't know anybody who supports Donald Trump. So, of course, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Of course, it's funny. Whatever.
I've never had, and look, it could just be a byproduct of the age of my children, but I do not remember this much discussion of the president around when Obama was in office, like with my kids bringing stuff home and talking about it, or having the amount of other kids who have made comments to me about Trump. I mean, it's incredible how much it has seeped down to those ages. And I know a lot of it's just coming from the parents.
Oh, of course it is. It's coming from parents. It's coming from adults. It's coming from teachers. You know, it's showing up in the classrooms now like it hasn't ever before that I can think of.
Real quick, I'll get your guys' thoughts on this. We're going to talk with Jennifer Carnahan a little bit later on in the hour. There was another Star Tribune article. Just the bias is so blatant talking about the GOP governor candidates. We'll get to that again, and Jennifer Carnahan will be calling in later on. But there's a story here out of Associated Press. It's talking about how Target is doing all this remodeling, right? Trying to compete with Amazon. But sort of the donut around the article is Target saying that its customers want it to pause the Christmas creep,
mm-hmm.
says it wants to be more in tune with the customer's mindset, so it plans to ease in holiday promotions this year while better recognizing Thanksgiving. So
I'm on board. Good.
Okay, hold on. Sam, are you on board? So for November, Target will keep Thanksgiving signs and displays and entrances, and marketing will play up Thanksgiving meal preparation, entertaining for shoppers, while downplaying some of the Christmas stuff they normally have done.
I am all for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Pump the brakes on the Christmas creep.
There were Christmas trees at my local Menards. As of like a month and a half ago. That is ridiculous. I should not be seeing Christmas trees in September.
Once again, I am in the minority of the three of us. I love the Christmas creep.
I love Christmas, but I don't want to love Christmas in September.
As long as it's past October 1st. And I go to the stores and Christmas stuff. I know that the holiday season has arrived. All of it.
Nope.
I love all the complaining about it. It's all part of the holiday season. The
holiday season doesn't start until after Halloween. I'm okay with
officially in my house.
I'm okay with it, you know, creeping into November. Because Thanksgiving isn't, I mean, it's a big holiday, of course, but it's not really like a retail holiday. Right.
Right.
Except for grocery stores.
Grocery stores, sure. But they feel like a Target or a Walmart. You can have a Thanksgiving decoration section. So I'm okay with Christmas creep getting in there, but not before Halloween.
All right.
Now should be nothing but Halloween.
I want to set a couple of parameters on this when we talk about influence. Also talking about influence, we'll get to Russia apparently also using Instagram to try to influence Native Americans. We'll get to that. Your thoughts as well. 651-989. 5855.
Justice in.
Twin Cities News Talk. Justice Andrew, along with Sam. 651-989-5855. Now use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter, and you can, if you want to share with us your holiday guidelines, so we can go around the room, okay?
Okay.
So these are my holiday, these are sort of my holiday guideline standards of what I want to see happen. Okay, so if I go shopping, okay, if we're past August, if we're past October 1st, okay, and I see holiday displays, totally fine with it. Doesn't bother me at all. I don't mind it. You need to have all the other displays, right? But that doesn't bother me. To me, it announces that the holiday season has arrived. However, in my home, because you were saying that, you said after
Halloween.
After Halloween, okay.
Halloween, see, after Halloween, I'm fine with some Christmas displays, okay, being in showing up in stores.
Okay, stores. Okay, so after October 1st, stores is fine. In our house, no Christmas stuff on display until the day after Thanksgiving, and there better not be any Christmas shows on TV, nor will I be watching any until after Thanksgiving. So that's my parameters.
Yeah, and I'm pretty much on board with that. I may sneak in a Christmas movie.
Okay.
A little early.
Yeah.
Before Thanksgiving. But no Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. We have Halloween decorations.
Yep.
We have Thanksgiving decorations. We have Christmas decorations.
And it's pretty easy to go immediately from Halloween to Thanksgiving. That's an easy color palette, somewhat the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
easy transition.
And the Thanksgiving fall stuff is kind of fall anyway.
Yeah. Least favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. But
oh, it's my favorite.
Your least favorite? Would you hate good food?
No, it's
and
just
family?
Like eating a nice dinner at a table with family?
Yeah.
It's so bland.
What?
The whole Thanksgiving holiday is just so bland. The color, like,
that's
with
kind of what I like about it, though.
No, see, like with Halloween, you've got the bright oranges, right? And you got the spookiness. It's very interesting. You get into Thanksgiving, and it's all just sort of, you know, cornucopias.
You're doing it wrong.
The bland
you're doing
colors.
It wrong, John.
And then I enjoy the Thanksgiving meal, but with given an option between food that I like, a Thanksgiving meal or a really good pizza, go with the pizza.
But you don't have to eat, like, you can eat whatever you want for your Thanksgiving meal. It doesn't have to be turkey and mashed potatoes.
I know, but usually that's frowned upon when you go that route, you know?
So you see your house, now like your neighbors are going to come by and frown at you.
Yeah. So I find Thanksgiving to kind of be the road bump to my Christmas, you know, season, which I love.
I love all the holidays. So when I talk about like ones I like better than the others, you're talking very small margins.
Yeah, you love leap year.
I like leap day.
Yeah,
leap day. Is awesome. That's a great holiday.
Why?
Because it only happens once every 4 years. It's a magical day. You can do anything you want on leap day. There are no laws on leap day.
I think there are.
You know that? Because it doesn't count. It's not a real day.
It's not like the purge.
Nothing counts on leap day.
I feel like you're doing leap day really wrong.
It's not even a day of the week. It's like they kind of cram it in there. It's like you have an 8-day week. You go Tuesday, leap day, Wednesday.
Here's the ultimate test. Have you
Is
watched?
That true?
Have you watched?
I don't think that's true.
Have you watched the movie?
Leap Day? No.
Leap Year?
No, God, no.
Oh, see, you're not as big of a fan
terrible,
as I thought.
Terrible movie.
Yeah, you got to watch the movie.
How do you know it's terrible if you haven't seen it?
Because I can just tell. What I like about Thanksgiving is that it's the holiday that's more geared to like my speed of life. Like, everything's closed. You're not supposed to do anything.
But eat.
Yeah, it's just like you get up,
family.
You hang out with family, you watch a little football. You know, you usually got some college games. You got, of course, the NFL games, the Lions and the Cowboys play every year. And then you sit around the table and you have a really wonderful, bountiful meal with family. That's my kind of holiday. I dig that. That's my kind of holiday. That's my kind of day. Watch a movie, maybe two. You don't have to leave the house. You don't have to do anything. That's my speed.
What are your holiday parameters, Sam?
If I see anything Christmas related in a store before October 1st,
I burn it down.
Yes. Pretty much. At least in my soul. That store is dead to me forever. Menards in Buffalo, I'm looking at you. I got problems with you.
We're going to have words.
No, I don't want to see Christmas stuff. And I seriously have been seeing Christmas stuff since, I feel like, before September 1st.
Oh, I love it.
Which is ridiculous. But I think that in my house, it's similar where it's like the day after each holiday, you kind of... You go into getting ready, gearing up for the next holiday. Last year, and I think possibly the year before that, we didn't put our Christmas tree up until like maybe within the week before Christmas, maybe in the days before Christmas. I don't know. We were a little behind. But overall, our intent is the day after each holiday.
I always find it strange that after, you know, after Christmas, you like kind of the obviously Christmas and New Year's, you have that gap between Christmas and New Year's where you can still kind of be in the Christmas spirit. Mm-hmm. But then after New Year's, it kind of like it dies off.
Yeah.
When technically, though, so many of the songs that remind us of Christmas are all not even Christmas related. They're more winter related. Yes. So they should still be relevant.
But
I get it. I understand the sort of the social standard, I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah, it's a new year.
Yeah. I'd like to extend it a little farther.
We're not doing Halloween this year in my house, and it kind of bums me out. I like...
You're just not going to acknowledge the day?
Well, we're not going to be home on Halloween night, so we're not putting up any of the decorations because we don't want people to come to our door because we're not going to be there. Right, so we're kind of refraining from all of the Halloween festivities because we've got alternate plans that evening. It's my daughter's birthday. She was born on Halloween.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right.
So we got a whole thing.
It's a Tuesday night this year.
It's a Tuesday. Yeah, Halloween on a Tuesday is pretty lame. Yeah.
Now, will if kids go trick or treating on Saturday night, will people turn them away? Because haven't people done that before?
You know. Yes. Yeah, but that's usually, it'll be like a community decision, like a town or a neighborhood or whatever will sort of collectively decide, hey, we're doing we're going to do Halloween on the weekend this year. I've not seen that in Minnesota. I've seen that in other places.
Okay.
I've lived.
Okay.
I don't think that I've ever seen that in any town that I've ever lived in or been in.
I'm going to co-op a Sam phrase here to make this statement, okay? But the whole trunk or treat, not a thing.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. No. Can we all get on board with trunk or treat?
Trunk or treat's fake.
Stop trying to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Russians came up with that.
Stop trying to make trunk or treat happen. It's dumb.
I'm the first person to call something dumb, and I've never been to a trunk or treat event. But I mean, I don't think it can be that bad.
It's bad.
I mean...
I'll grant churches doing harvest festivals in lieu of Halloween stuff. Okay, fine, God, whatever, I get it. You know, I'm down with that. But trunk or treat, I've got a problem with.
You're like, I want you to work for your candy. If you're not going to go door to door, get out.
But it's a connotation to trunk of card. It just doesn't, it's all bad.
Yeah, you don't want to, it's a weird lesson to teach kids.
Actually, you know what? I'm getting more
cards. Yeah, you can find something good.
I'm getting more and more on board with this. Yeah. This anti trunk or treat.
Nobody
yes.
has a good looking trunk.
Don't be teaching.
Hey, kid, come see what's in my trunk. Right. Good. I got treats in there for you.
See?
You've convinced
all
me. Trunk
together.
Or treat. Yeah, trunk or treat. Nope, not a thing.
Yeah, maybe it was. Drew, I will get fully on board with your concern over Russian influence if indeed we do find out that it was the Russians that have been pushing trunk or treat on us unsuspecting American citizens.
They're trying to take away our Halloween. Yeah.
We'll talk more about this coming up in just a moment. But out of BuzzFeed, the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline were a sacred for the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, but for the Russian trolls that we continue to discuss, the protests were another opportunity to sow discord in America, and they were using Instagram. We'll give you all the details on this coming up, and we will be speaking with Jennifer Carnahan over this ridiculous Star Tribune article. GOP candidates plow ahead even as some Republicans wait for something better.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. A very troublesome Sam at the moment.
How am I troublesome?
No,
because I'm troubled.
You're troubled.
Oh. Yeah.
A very troubled Sam. I was a poor choice of words on my on my end.
And John, watch it.
Sorry. Yeah. My apologies.
Killed any owls today?
Not today.
All right.
It's not really today. Bugging you, though.
Yeah, yeah. I am, you know what, I am troubled.
Sam, on her adventures over the weekend, had an owl land in the middle of the road that she could not avoid.
I didn't hit it. That owl hit me, I think, in the soul.
Minnesota GOP Chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan will be calling in just a few minutes to talk about this ridiculous Star Tribune article. As Drew, you were pointing out before the show started, here we have GOP candidates plow ahead, even as some Republicans wait for something better. Really, right. It's just one dude in the article at the same time.
We have covered piece after piece after piece that the Star Tribune has done, basically PR puff pieces on every DFL candidate and all the great things that they're doing, and just these glowing profiles of Rebecca Otto uses solar panels on her home. Did you know? Isn't that great? And you get piece after piece after that. And we were asking, every time we cover one of those, we're asking, you know, where are these profile pieces on the Republican candidates? Oh, no, you don't get that. You get, what a bunch of losers that are running.
Yeah, this guy Andy is looking for something better than the guys that are running.
Yeah, they found one guy.
One dude. Before we talk with Jennifer, we are going to be joined by David Gartenstein-Ross a little later in the week on Thursday. We're going to get into the issue of Russia influence, their attempts to influence us here in America through social networking. We'll also talk at length with David about the situation in Niger that continues to gain attention. It was making some headlines this morning. The latest story, yesterday we had the one of the attempts apparently by these Russian trolls to influence, even in the Philando Castile shooting.
Right. Fallout from the Philando Castile shooting, to try to spark protests and demonstrations and direct them in a certain direction. They weren't apparently effective here
in that
Minnesota,
case, right?
But they did similar things in Ferguson. They did similar things in Baltimore. Who knows where else they've attempted to do similar things.
Now we have a story of an Instagram account called @Native_Americans_United_ shared images related to Native American social and political issues, including the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline, the flashpoint for activists all around the country, especially Native Americans. So RBC was the Russian outlet identified that account as one of 180 connected to a Russian troll farm that we continue to talk about, intent on exploiting existing divisions and social movements in the United States based off the major investigation into the operations of Russian Internet Research Agency.
That's exactly what we've been saying on this show. This is their goal. They don't have a specific agenda, like they're rooting for Republicans or they're rooting for Democrats or all they're doing is just finding social cracks in society and filling them in with a bunch of trolling to try to widen them. And they found one in the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. According to this story in BuzzFeed, for Russian trolls, the protests were another opportunity to sow discord in America. One of a series of social movements from Black Lives Matter activism to pro-Trump populism on which trolls appear to have seized. They mentioned this Instagram account, Native Americans United, shared images related to Native American social political issues and used them as a flashpoint for activists all over the country, but especially Native Americans.
I wonder how much of this is the Russians and this Russian troll farm, this Russian outlet, doing sort of the wacky wall walker approach, where they're throwing everything up against the wall. They're trolling as much as they can to see what in their minds ends up sticking.
I don't even think they care that it sticks. That's the thing. They're just throwing it. And as long as it continues to widen those already existing divisions, that serves their purpose. Because their purpose is to make themselves look better in the eyes of their citizens. Their purpose is to be able to point to America and say, you guys think that democracy is so great? You guys think all that capitalism and all that freedom is so great? Look at how much social unrest there is over there. Look at how unhappy all their people are. Trust us, your great mother Russia government, because we can take care of you. We don't have these problems here. It's all over there because they have too much freedom. There's too much democracy.
If that is indeed the case, I have a hard time believing that I would, there has to be something tangible if that's the case, in my opinion. There has to be something that the Russians can look at to show that all of these efforts of what they're doing is actually having an impact. Because again, I'm going to argue that All of these things that they are trying to influence is stuff that is already happening. I mean, when you look at look at the Instagram,
you're right.
But when you look at the Instagram, I mean, this is the same nonsense that I see on my Facebook accounts. It's the same nonsense that I see on there's an individual Trumpian 2016, and every time I go into Instagram and just kind of do a search when I'm killing time, their feed pops up with some other pro Trump meme, and it's usually something on a ridiculous level. You know, I don't have an example in front of me, but to me, there has to be something that Russia is looking at to say this is where we actually had a tangible difference. Because if not, it just seems chaos that may not be resulting in anything whatsoever.
It doesn't have to. That's the point, John.
That's a lot of effort for a guess.
It's propaganda that is geared towards creating more loyalty amongst Russian citizens towards the Russian government, to strengthen the image of Putin and Russia's government in the eyes of their citizens. They don't care what the impact is over here. This is not geared towards any specific outcome. It's just to create the unrest. It's just to create all the protests. It's so that they can then use that information, show it to their people about how bad things are in America.
If they are doing it saying trying to take credit, then I'll give it to you. If it's the Russian propaganda, if it's the Russian propaganda saying this is everything that we did and look at the results, because in my opinion, anything that they would point to say that they had an influence over, they didn't even need to get involved in, because we already see it on the streets. We already see the controversy surrounding the Dakota Access Pipeline, the protests surrounding Ferguson.
You don't know that without this Russian meddling, if those protests would have gotten as big as they did.
I would argue that they would have.
But you don't know that. Because you don't know the impact that it had. That's the whole point of this. They're not doing this for credit. They're doing this to be able to show to their citizens how bad things are here and how much better things are in Russia. That's the, in my opinion,
that is
the sole goal of this.
Well, that's
to be able to point to all the unrest in America and show it to their citizens in Russia and say, this is why Russia's better. This is why our way is the better way. You don't want all that freedom. You don't want all that democracy. That's all crazy. Look, people just go crazy. They go nuts when all that happens. You don't want any part of that. Just stick with us. We know the right way. We've got this under control, and it's all to keep a much stricter level of control over their citizenry than our government has over us.
I only because here's the problem with the argument. We got to get to Jennifer Carnahan, but the problem with our debate over this is that neither of us have any tangible evidence to know whether or not you are right or I am right. We know one thing: we know that Russia has meddled, but we have no idea whatsoever what the impact of that meddling is. It's all just assumptions on our part. I'll agree with you at least right now. Only if they want to be able to see what's happening in America and be able to show efforts that they have done and try to take credit for it. Mm-hmm. Because I do believe that the whole Dakota Access Pipeline, Black Lives Matter, the protests taking place in the street, all of those things that they try to meddle in would have been just as likely with or without Russian influence. We'll talk with David about it on Thursday. We'll get his thoughts.
Yeah. Joining us now, State Party Chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan from the GOP. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic. How are you?
Doing well.
Jennifer, what are your thoughts on Russian meddling? No, we wanted to get your thoughts on this, and thanks for coming on at the spur of the moment. But this article out of the Star Tribune, it's got to be frustrating, and I know you're quoted in here, but GOP candidates plow ahead, even as some Republicans wait for something better. And they really, when they do this, even as some Republicans, it's an interview with one individual, this Andy Breem, a former GOP operative who is now a corporate lawyer who they interviewed, who says, I think we need someone to enter this race with heavy political horsepower needed to win decisively next year. That is the sum of the Republicans that they are mentioning in the headline here. And I know you can give us your thoughts on this piece, but when you look at the puff pieces, as Drew mentioned, of all of the DFL candidates, this is certainly stands in sharp contrast with what the Star Tribune put out this morning.
Yeah, I would have to say I was a bit disappointed when I read the headline, because I did obviously interview for that article yesterday, and the interview was, 10 to 15 minutes in length. And what I talked about the entire time is the encouragement and inspiration that I feel from all of our candidates, the current field that we have for governor. As I was quoted saying, these gentlemen are driving all over the state. They're sharing their vision and values for how Minnesota can be better under conservative leadership. And I've been traveling around the state just as much in some cases as some of these candidates. And so I've seen them quite a bit. And the reaction that I see from the crowd, everybody is encouraged. And the commentary that I hear is we have a deep bench. It's like no matter who gets the endorsement, none of them would be a bad candidate because they all have strengths in different areas. And that's what our party needs, to have individuals like this step up, great individuals, to give us a choice for how to move Minnesota back onto a better path.
This is a clear demonstration of the type of bias that gets complained about with the Star Tribune, in my opinion, because this is the primary process. I mean, this is what happens. A bunch of candidates declare on the DFL side and on the Republican side, and they work it out, and they travel around, and they talk to their delegations, they talk to their BPOUs, they talk to, they go around, they do all the handshaking, all the retail level of politics, and that's how the primary process plays out. And there's always, on both sides, one of the concerns over the primary process is who is the best candidate to win on a statewide level. The DFL is having the exact same conversations and concerns that the GOP is having, yet the Star Tribune doesn't cover that on the DFL side. The Star Tribune prints all these individual profiles of the candidates and all the great things that they're doing and how they've got solar panels on their own little houses and everything. That's so wonderful. Yet you don't see that with the Star Tribune on the GOP side. You see it all focus on that legitimate and fair concern that both sides have that, hey, which one of these candidates is going to play the best on a statewide level?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the last question that I was asked in my interview yesterday is, what do you think of the DFL candidate pool for governor? And my response to that was, well, bad and worse. I mean, their candidates are so extreme and so far left that none of those candidates represent what we saw in Minnesota in the 2016 election and represent the voice of the majority of Minnesotans. And the DFL clearly can't seem to still figure out why they lost. And they keep going down this path of pulling their party further left and going to the extremists, and that does not work for Minnesota. I mean, we've seen it with Governor Dayton over the past 8 years. We've seen it on a national level, and if that's the path they continue on going down, well, great for them. But we look forward to winning everything in 2018.
How big of an impact do you think, articles like this have? I mean, knowing what the demographics are of the Star Tribune readership, I mean, how frustrating is it for you, and how much concern do you have when this is the kind of coverage that the party ends up getting?
I think the frustrating part is, there's a smaller group of people on both sides, right, the Republican and the Democratic Party, that are engaged in party politics to the level, for example, that I am. And so, I'd say a majority of Minnesotans maybe aren't as involved at that level. So when articles come out like this, they don't maybe have the context in the background of these candidates driving all over the state, the messages that they're all promoting and championing for a better Minnesota, and then you just read an article like that. So that's a bit disappointing. Unfortunately, that's kind of the media world that we live in today.
Yeah.
So, our opportunity as a party for this election cycle and moving forward is to try to reshape that narrative, to try to, really get the message out about what our candidates are about, what our values are about, what our party is about, and make sure people are as informed as they can be so they make the right choice and the best choice when they head to the polls next November.
Yeah, but I respect that, and I think you're on the right track there. But how hard is it to do that when you've got some of the biggest media in the state actively working against that perception, actively working to perpetuate this notion that Republicans just can't find a winner, they just don't have any heavy hitters? I mean, that's a conversation that has certainly happened in GOP circles. Is do we have the best candidates running? Do we have candidates that are strong enough to run statewide? It's a legitimate concern when you look at the last, several election cycles. But you have the Star Tribune just actively going out of their way to perpetuate it when similar concerns are had on the DFL side, and they absolutely ignore that.
Yeah, it'd be nice if a bit more balance was shown from a journalistic standpoint and a similar article would come out on the other side, right, to your point. It is frustrating. It is certainly a challenge that Republicans deal with at all levels. But, you know, as I said, the only thing we can really try to do is try to reshape the narrative, try to, you know, position a different message and try to champion that as we continue to go out and work towards 2018.
This article was written by J. Patrick Kulikin, who was a, you know, before coming to the Twin Cities and becoming a quote unquote journalist, was a, you know, straight up liberal editorial writer for other publications in the past. Can you talk about a little bit about the context and of the interview? Was when you were interviewing with him, when you were talking with him, was it clear that he was going in this direction, you know, writing an article about how the entire GOP field has all these shortcomings that are concerning on a statewide level, or was it just a, hey, I want to talk to you about the current GOP field?
No, I mean, the first question I was asked was about, hey, there are people out there, donors, activists, other leaders that feel that the field is weak. You know, that was the first question. And so, you know, as I stated to you guys and stated in the article, I disagree with that notion. And, you know, and what I had said to Mr. Kulikin is, you know, whenever you have an open seat, especially for a seat this important, the governor of Minnesota, of course you're going to have a number of candidates jumping in on either side. I think that's to be expected. But I don't think that that's a reflection on is one pool of candidates weaker than another. I think it just shows that when there's an open seat and there's an opportunity to make change, you know, people that have interest in it or feel that they're qualified or feel that they can do a great job are going to step up for the challenge. And that's kind of how I feel about it. Regarding Mr. Kulikin, I've met him several times. I've talked with him. I actually think, you know, he's a great person, but I understand everybody kind of writes things from a perspective they have or a story angle or idea that maybe they had before they went into an interview. And a lot of times it's hard to change kind of the narrative or the positioning of that interview if a journalist or someone is sort of already down a path. As hard as I tried, right?
Right. Minnesota GOP Chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan, thank you so much for coming on such short notice. We really do appreciate it. It was great talking with you.
Have a great day, you too.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
It's such a disservice, and I could be completely wrong on this. You know, I don't work in print or online media. I'm not a journalist. But it seems to me that if, in this case, if the Star Tribune just did an article, like, from the GOP point of view, here are the candidates and what they stand for, right? Even for their readership, even if it is largely leaning left, to me, that's a heck of a lot more compelling and interesting and would garner more attention than going with pieces like this. That's a part of it I don't understand. If you actually were to, I mean, think about it from our perspective. When they put out those pieces about those DFL candidates, whether it's for governor or the Minneapolis City Council, they're a heck of a lot more interesting when they're trying to highlight all the things that are nice about them for us, mm-hmm. when we can counter that with our own beliefs, right, than to go the route of just sort of playing right, oh, here's another piece about how Republicans are bad. No, man, do a piece, put it around this, you know, put the little circle around it of this is how Republicans feel and what they stand for. It's going to be a much more compelling and interesting story than this nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. There are fascinating stories around all the candidates, DFL, GOP. Talk about how they, the path that took them to decide to run for governor. Talk about their backstory. Talk about their lives outside of politics and how they found, you know, their ideology, how they moved towards their current belief system. That's all interesting stuff and stuff that I would like to know about all the candidates.
Yep. 651-989-5855. Coming up in just a little under 15 minutes from now, your chance to win a grand. You want to be listening for the keyword to text in, a chance to put a grand in your hand. Speaking of candidates, we will get to this MinnPost article, a who's who in Minneapolis's most politically diverse city council race ever. And startling number of people shot and killed in Minneapolis and St. Paul in the past week. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk. Justice.